So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this lecture. I wish to take the opportunity to thank Professor Michael Lackner for his kind invitation and the staff members for their valuable and always timely assistance. I think this institution and the mission of its project are very significant, and I am honored to be part of it. This lecture deals with divination practices in Tibet, but I think it is necessary to give a general idea about some cultural issues before taking them into consideration so that they can be properly contextualized. Nowadays, when crossing a mountain pass or welcoming the new year and so on, people launch the lungta in the air, this one that you are seeing here. Westerners call them prayer flags, but they are not only prayer flags, and we'll get back to that later. And while they do that, they exclaim, Lajalo, which means the gods are victorious. This expression comes from a very distant point in time and can be traced back, for example, to a Burn divinatory story, which I will read just a few excerpts here short. The three lords were the one carrying a golden sword with a blade so sharp that it could slit silk, called the Lord who generates the aspiration for happiness from the gods. The child with an iron saw and a goatskin coat, called the Lord who generates the curse for misery from the demons. And the Lord Chakenselenme, entrusted as the judge who truthfully discerns good and evil and decides between the victory and defeat of gods and demons. The third Lord Chakensa said, the two lords will throw the cholo, the dominoes, until they sweat, and will fight for the gods and the demons, for life and death, virtue and iniquity. If the gods are victorious, happiness, joy, bliss, and all that is propitious will manifest and spread in this world and in the higher realms. If the demons win, plagues, famines, war, and all that is inauspicious will expand in this world. So then the Lord who generates the aspiration for happiness from the gods through the cholo, I will show them to you right now. This is this. Without the cholo, we don't mean it, okay? Then the Lord who generates a curse for misery from the demons through the cholo. And at that point, Chakenselenme said, today the sun in the sky and the wind are good. The moment on earth is a joyful one. At this time, when all the planets and stars are favorable and harmonious, the 12 golden cholo have been thrown in the border country of the gods and demons, and the cholo has won the truth. The cholo thrown this time results in favor of the gods. People will have good years, and so on. Then those who had looked at the sunny slope of the mountain went away laughing, while those who had gazed at the shaded slope of the mountain left in tears. How can we see these first three were thrown by the Lord of the Gods, and these are the first three combinations, which are the best ones. Instead, the Lord of Demons threw these last ones, and so the victory was in favor of the gods. But this is just to show you that this kind of divination also really starts from a long time ago, really in antiquity. In any case, according to the ancient worldview of Burn, the tradition that its followers consider the primeval autochthonous spiritual and cultural tradition of the Tibetan civilization, the environment displays itself in a tripartite fashion, being composed of three different dimensions: heaven above, earth in the middle, and the subterranean world below, each dominated by different classes of beings and elemental forces. Divination is strictly linked to this tripartite manifestation of existence. Mythology informed liturgical practices in the form of ritual proclamations and explanations about the origin of existence, and reenacted the covenant established in primordial times between human beings and those supernatural entities and forces. The ability of interfacing with and the numerous techniques and ritual liturgies for effectively dealing with those dimensions were entrusted to and represented the prerogative of priests, masters called Pön Shenpo, who were specialized in distinct and specific aspects of ritual actions, meant to control the positive and negative forces, or neutralize harmful situations created by supernatural or non-human beings and the elemental powers controlled by them. So, for example, there were Pön Shenpos for fire, prosperity, marriage, epidemics, bumper harvest, preventing loss of livestock, or abduction of infants by demons, summoning sun and warm weather, or rain clouds and rainbows. Those apt at pacifying the soul of murdered people, especially those killed by a dagger, who otherwise would torment the living and bring them all sorts of misfortunes, and so on. Those specialized in burial seem to appear at a later date. Burn texts relate that in legendary times, Tibetan monarchs did not remain on earth, but ascended the heavens through a rainbow cord called the Mu cord. This syllable Mu is important and interesting because it is the one of the most prestigious clan of the Shanzhong kingdom in which the teacher Sherabni Woche was born, and we'll get to him momentarily. So the first burial sites and relevant rituals had to be created because, the story has it, a king who could not tolerate the power of the Pön Shenpos fought with one of them and inadvertently cut the cord. In any case, Pön Shenpos also performed the role of protectors of the Tibetan monarchs for generations, basically until the adoption of Buddhism as a state religion, which occurred in the 7th century AD by Emperor Sun Tseng-gampo. This image of Emperor Sun Tseng-gampo, sorry, not very clear, but is contained in the Chokang, which is the main Lhasa temple, which is very important because it contains the Buddha statue that the princess Wenchengunju brought to Tibet when she was sent by the Tang Emperor as, you know, wife to Sun Tseng-gampo, to this monarch. From a cosmological perspective, the Burn view maintains that in the very beginning, the universe and sentient beings were created through the interaction of the collective essence of the five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth, that generated one or more cosmic eggs, which hatched by virtue of their own power, and from whose different components all beings of the heavenly, the intermediate, and the earthly sphere came into existence, including the primordial divine couples, progenitors of the human race, whose descendants were born as the first tribal ancestors of Tibet. As the author of that trilogy, Contemporary Rites, traditionally speaking, the origin of Burn teachings, known as the Everlasting Burn, coincides with the birth of Shenrabni Woche in Shanzhong about 3,908 years ago. Shanzhong is like there. Okay? Shanzhong Kingdom. The teachings of Shenrab became the essence of all different forms of Burn, are one of the most sophisticated of all the traditions that had been called Burn up to that time. This is like an image of Shiva. This is a modern image. Can you see something? More or less? More or less, somehow. Okay, and in any case, Sherab's legacy and the tradition that he systematized included spiritual and doctrinal teachings, as well as diagnostic and healing methods, apotropaic rituals, divinatory practices, and so on. They were translated and diffused in Tibet and other neighboring countries. So, the kingdom of Shanzhong with Mount Kailash at its center. Okay, Mount Kailash at its center. Would thus represent the cradle of the ancient Pern culture. But we cannot mention Mount Kailash without its concept, because the divine dyad is a very important concept in Pern and also tantric teachings later. This is Mount Kailash over there with Lake Manasarovar. It's 320 square kilometers. Is that so? It's very huge, the Lake Manasarovar. Anyway, the influence of the Shanzhong kingdom remains strong until the dynasty of Central Tibet acquired supremacy and, among other territories, conquered and absorbed Shanzhong in the Greater Tibetan Empire, which flourished from the 7th through the 9th century. In this regard, it is interesting to relate a quotation concerning the term Burn and the term Perd, which means Tibet, drawn from the White Annals, which are a history of Tibet compiled by a very famous Tibetan scholar of last century, who says, according to the followers of the everlasting Burn, this is Burn, in the beginning the name of the country was Burn, that then became corrupted into Perd. That Burn and Perd could be understood as having the same meaning may seem ridiculous, but that is not the case. Before the father of Sonsen Gampo, who is the Tibetan monarch who introduced Buddhism, the religious system of the everlasting Burn had spread everywhere in the country, and thus it is not surprising that the name was well known. In earlier times, the Chinese called Tibet the country of Pern, a term phonetically related to Burn. Furthermore, many examples exist in the old language of the interchangeability of the two consonants, which is these two, ta and na, as suffixes. In Mongolia, some call the followers of the Burn religion Perd or Po. Similarly, since the religion of Sherab spread in Tibet, it is possible that the name of the country was attached to that of the religion, or that the name of the religion was attached to that of the country. But, he says, other than a 2,000-year-old forefather, who could answer the question? We don't know, but in any case, in the Dunhuang documents, like the Tibetan annals and so on, the older Tibetan chronicles, and also other texts, we see that when there is this suffix ta letter, that is a concrete evidence that the text is really very old, because in modern times they have dropped this letter. In any case, Burn texts affirm that before the introduction of Buddhism, the country was ruled through three important and characterizing systems, respectively called Trung, Deu, and Dan. The Trung were narrations of various sorts, such as stories, legends, tales, epics, which have been said to represent the secular culture of the country. As in other countries, these narrations were entrusted to bards, who would relate about royal genealogies and historically relevant events, transmitting knowledge, religious beliefs, and cosmogonic notions, and therefore represented the main medium for education and diffusion of culture. In this respect, the proclamations about the origins of existence mentioned above guaranteed the efficacy and the correct exercise of rituals. The Teo were symbolic and cryptic codes utilized to communicate secret messages and information through words or objects to which special values were attributed. So they were tools for transmitting knowledge which could not be publicly communicated. They were keys to open the portals of the unknown and the ineffable. For example, they were very relevant with respect to esoteric instructions and the probable connection of the term with divination in general. In fact, in modern Tibetan, the term teu, mig means eye, is used to indicate keys. The codes were not restricted to spiritual or divinatory environments only. They were utilized at court for strategic and political purposes, and also by common people to solve problems or address specific needs. It is possible that during the course of time, this ancient form of knowledge was downsized to its most superficial and exterior layer, such as that of an enigma intended as a riddle. And in fact, that is the meaning retained by the term in the modern Tibetan language. One of these riddles is very popular in Eastern Tibet, and let's see if you can riddle it for me. What is the coral bag which is full of gold coins? This is very easy, especially for people who eat this. It's chili pepper. Isn't it nice? Isn't it interesting? So in any case, the meaning of the word was originally very profound, since it was also used by monarchs as part of their names. And the old divination which utilizes pebbles seems to be one of the oldest, and it is certainly the ancestor of the divination with prayer beads and with dice, so which we will talk soon. The third cultural element was burn. A system of knowledge which in its most ancient classification consisted of 12 major categories. Of science or teachings, liturgies, and so on, which were these 12. These are called the 12 lores of Burn, Hesperia the Tibetan. The Burn of deities, signs of tradition or protection, this is the first one, which is the connected with the idea, a very important idea that we find in this Burn tradition of these two. Which is this is Ladra and this is Ladra. The La and Ra is an important concept we have to understand. La means the vital soul, but it is more than the vital soul. The La of a person could also be a tree, for example, which is planted by the person or someone else, and by the state of health of the tree, you can see how the person is faring, for example. La could be something, phenomenologically speaking, near to Shen in Chinese, the principle of Qi Jin Shen, that's Shen there. While Dra means sound, and so it is linked to everything that has to do with Qi, with the voice, with energy, concrete in that sense. And this Drala is also a class of very powerful beings, of deities. And to this class also belong the five deities that accompany an individual all the time, which are the father deity, mother deity, then there is the life deity, then there is the place deity. It's all interconnected like that. But what happened that in later times, since people lost the sense of this concept, they started to write it in another way. And since the introduction of Buddhism, they attributed a Buddhist idea to this concept. And so this one, the second one, this means deity, just God, you know. Also in the sense of enlightened God, like it can be, for example, a Buddha or, you know, Guan Yin, that kind. And Dra means enemy. So the sense was completely changed, twisted in a sense, we can say, due to ignorance of the, you know, original information. In any case, the one where divination belongs to is, to which divination belongs to is the Pen of Cha, which is the sense of prosperity. Then we have the burn of ransom rituals, number three. Ransoms are very extremely important in the burn tradition because through ransom rituals, one can avert death and many other things, it says. Then we have the burn of funerary rituals, the burn of exorcism and purification rituals, that which releases from curses, healing, therapeutic, etc., astrology, To rituals, which are these rituals that are especially designed in order to dispel and clarify obstacles created by negative provocations of the energy of the individual. Then there is the deer rituals, which is the science of flying, which is carried out on a drum. So here we find some reminiscences of shamanic ideas of Central Asia. Then there is chutik, the science of divination, which is the one that I will be working on during my stay here. And then there is the burn of magic power, the science of destruction rituals, which serves to actually destroy the enemy of the teaching and in general. In any case, concerning the types of divination, there are quite a few methods of divination in the Tibetan tradition. Some of them are based on astrological principles derived from the Chungtse method, which is the astrology of the five elements. So at this point, I will put the Lungtai again here, and I will give you some explanations that are relevant to the discourse. The word Lungta consists of two syllables, the first of which represents the element space, according to the classification of the five elements in earth, water, fire, air, and space. There exist two ways of listing the elements in the Tibetan tradition. According to the tantric teaching, it is space, air, fire, water, and earth. According to the astrology of the elements, it is wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. In the latter system, wood corresponds to the element air, and metal represents the essence of the earth element. The term Lung means universal foundation or all-pervading. Furthermore, in several texts dating from the 8th century, the word appears with the meaning of space or dimension. The word Ta, horse, indicates a best horse, a thoroughbred horse. And since in ancient times in Tibet, the horse symbolized traveling at the maximum speed possible, the word in this case seems to refer to the idea of transferring from negativity to positivity, from misfortune to fortune, from bad omens to good omens, from disgrace to prosperity, and so on, all that is based upon the five elements, implying that such transfer be actualized with extreme rapidity. On the color flags called Lungta, which are the object of a very widespread cult in Tibet, we find at the center, you can see, the image of a horse there, adorned with a flaming jewel. And at the four corners, we find a tiger, a lion, then a kyun or eagle bird, which sometimes it's translated with Garuda, but it has nothing to do with that kind of Garuda. And then the dragon. A dragon. Because Kyung is the name of an ancient tribes of the kingdom of Shanzhong, and so it is something else. So some maintain that these four animals endowed with claws represent courage or invincibility. That can certainly be true, but in any case, the animals represent the four elements: air, earth, fire, and water. So the tiger, which lives in forest, represents the element wood or air in the sense of the dynamic energy that makes trees grow. The lion, which according to the Tibetan traditions lives on mountains, represents the element earth. And the mythical kyung bird, of which here you should see a better image, which lives high in the sky and emanates flames from its horns, symbolizes the element fire. And as I said, it's one of the most important, name of the most important Shanzhong tribes. The dragon, which according to the legends live in the sea, represents the element water. The fifth element, space, is represented by the all-pervading dimension expressed by the term Lung, foundation of all the elements, and represented by the excellent horse at the center. The fact that the symbols of the elements are not directly the forest, the mountain and the sea, but the four animals that live in those environments, shows the intention of expressing not only the condition of the elements, but also, and above all, their active function. The same function is personified by the excellent horse, traditionally adorned with the also mythical flaming jewel that realizes all wishes, and that symbolizes I lost my paper. Sorry. This is weird. In any case, which symbolizes the realization of the condition of the individual. Okay, now we can talk about some forms of divination. So, as I said before, this word, cha, is the word which indicates all those practices that are deriving from a specific form of vehicle that is connected with these nine vehicles that we were talking about before. And for what concerns the first one, chutik, which is the one that I am studying now, is the divination through forks and knots. We will talk about this first. Chutik is a highly acclaimed system in the ancient Bon tradition for clarifying hidden circumstances. For that reason, the cultural literature that developed around it became extensive and diversified. The practice of Chutik was extremely diffused during the early intermediate and later periods. And as a matter of fact, we have one scroll of the old Tibetan Tungkwang Chronicles, which is the Paleo-Tibetan 1047, which runs from line 4 to 404, which is dedicated to Chutik divination. We have lost many of these texts, but fortunately, there is a scholar, like contemporary scholar, who was able, comparing no less than 11 sources, to put together a document, which is the one that I will be studying now. So how does this divination work? First of all, we have the six chords. We have six chords which are utilized for the divination, one of which is longer than the others. The diviner joins the ends of two chords at a time and makes four knots altogether while tightly holding two of the four remaining ends in each hand. Then the chords are set down and the different shapes of the knots are examined. For example, the texts say that there are at least 360 more, the most important knots are 360, which are classified as pure, wise, and impure. So the diviner examines the shape of the knots, the way in which they are connected, oriented, and so on. If the divination is very important, one can do it for as much as 13 times. Yes. In any case, the main knots of the Chutik divination are 360, like the number of days in a year, or that also of the deities that are the controllers, let's say, of this condition. So Chutik is also called the Chutik of the manifestation of primordial existence, and it is part of a group of teachings which is called the clairvoyance of the Drala. Remember, maybe I told you before, the sound and the vital force, deities of primordial knowledge, which have also other different divinatory methods through specific signs that appear, for example, through a mirror. And then we can see the back of the mirror. Here you will recognize something familiar to you. The pakwa, which in Tibetan is called the parka, you can see, and then in the middle there is nine. Can you see?
Barely.
In the middle, you can see there are like a small square with nine numbers, which are called the molds, and they correspond to the elements of the individual, and so on. Apart from that,
is it glancing at one point? Maybe we can put it a bit more in the direction where it is glancing?
Because there is, the reflection of the light.
Where are the
bottles? Yeah, they are in there.
You can see, I can give you the.
It's
in Tibetan,
Sorry.
Yeah. It's from 1 to 9. 1 to 9.
Inside.
Inside, 1 to 9.
The center.
The center.
Divided into nine space and deal with the Tibetan numbers.
So is it working better? This is modern. No, but so picture 3. Well, 1800.
If you persist, it gets larger.
Wow! And now this is completely. Okay, no. Where is minus?
Minus plus.
Thank you so much. Okay, this was done. Yes, in the middle is 9. 1, 2, 3. I can't even see it like this. 1, 2, 9, yes, 8. But this is put 8. 1, 2. It's not in the order, you know. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 like that. It depends. It depends. From you know, also for whom the mirror has been done. Can you see? Anyway, this is the back of the mirror, and I want to.
Sorry. It readjusts itself. I see. Sorry.
It's okay. So okay. So we have the mirror. Okay. And then we have another form, which is called the. Can I move it? with pebbles, divination, which we were talking before, and then we have with prayer beads. This one, and then we talk about that momentarily. Then we have with dice. It escaped the fire. This is for the fire. One, this I will show you later. And yes, then we have babies, etc. We also have different oracles in which a medium, for example, temporarily becomes the support of a deity predicting the future. So of all these, Chutik appears, the divination through cards, appears to be the most ancient. It is directly ascribed to the teacher Sherab Mivoche. So I will show you again. And it has been practiced widely both in Shenzhen and Tibet. As for the necessity and value of this method, a burnt text relates the motivations that have induced the teacher Sherab Mivoche to teach it. First of all, one enters the vehicle of the Shen of the Cha, of prediction and pronunciation, to benefit beings and make the world a happy place. This vehicle distinguishes between good and bad signs. It separates truth from falsehood, justice from injustice, and the pure from the corrupted. Cures illnesses, saves life, and increases longevity, prosperity, and well-being. In terms of benefits, the author of the text I'll be studying says, Chutik can make wrinkles disappear from a face marked by suffering, like muddy waters becoming clear again, and show the candor of a smile on a happy face, radiant like the full moon. It can clearly show people as if it were a lamp, the daggers of the demons aimed at the tree of life, and the hooks of the spirits eager to steal the jewel of the La, the vital force, and other invisible negative forces that attack us. With Chutik, one can obtain without effort the nectar that saves life and cures the illnesses, the jewel that makes poor people rich, and prolific the infertile ones, the insignia that makes weakly people mighty. The miraculous Chutik is like a secret voice that warns all beings associated by attachment to their life, like wanderers trading on an unknown path, to deviate from the path where the enemy is causing external and internal disturbances lay in ambush. For those who wish to have predictions about time and place, it is a voice that clearly affirms this is the door from which fortune will originate. To believe in the truth of interdependence is the theoretical principle at stake. Some utter empty and senseless words, such as, of what use could this futile divination be to those who are wise? But then, those same people, when meeting difficulties, pay in gold the impudent lies of idiots. What kind of wise people are they? The truthful words of this wonderful divination transmitted by the clairvoyant sage Sherab are teachings that foster hundreds and thousands of benefits. So it is handed down, and those who trust them are the real wise ones. Okay, and now we show you some other images. This is considered the Shen master. This is one of the tiny images which is on the Tibetan text that I'm working, which is a reproduction of a xylographic edition which has been printed in Kantok in Sikkim. This is the master who received the teachings of the divination, Chutik divination. This is a deity. Did you notice maybe not here? Here he has like an arrow. See? Here? And here he has the cords. See? The nuts. Picture.
You can't see.
Sorry! Okay. See. Well, I'll do it like this. More modern. Here is the arrow. And here, maybe it's not very clear, but you can see the cords. So he is the Shen, the master, entrusted, with transmitting and preserving this divination system. And here is the deity. But this is, you know, in the text is really very tiny like this, which you have to invoke for having the clarity shown to you. And these are not so good, but you can see some kind of combination of the cards and the other different combination with the knots and so on. And now I wanted to show you, I don't know if this you can see very well. Where is Anna? How do I do the... The PDF change? Question. Huh?
To what?
The PDF change. Otherwise, maybe I can... this is the can.
Do you want back to Becca?
No, no, I want to... because I have to show... Oops. Because I wanted to show the text, otherwise this is too small to see. This seems different, but maybe it's... Oh. I want to show the text. Something is happening. I need to... Gosh, I forgot. How did we do it before? Twice, right? Oops. No. Maybe this one. Is it doing something? No. How do we go back? Yeah. I want a PDF. It's a PDF called the NOS PDF should be. Where is it?
Is it the HPDF?
No. It is that, it is this, which now you can't even see. No,
that's the wrong
before. One. This is before. You have to do not speed yet. Let's see what happens. Should not be it was not blank when I put it there.
Maybe because it's too large. Or because maybe that it's smaller.
Or because there's no script. Script. Mm. It's image or Tibetan script.
It's Tibetan script with
yeah, make it a bit smaller. I'm sure it's somewhere
in
there.
Yeah.
Maybe smaller, yes.
Thank you. It's okay. No, I'm sorry for them. Wait. Ah, yeah. Now, yes. Please remain near in case something happens. Don't go away. I mean, so can you see? This is grazie. The text. I wanted to show you the different notes. Notes. See? See? Yeah, the text explains all the 360 notes, what they mean, how to interpret the meaning, and so on. Okay, see different positions, etc. This is one thing. So this doesn't mean anymore. And let's see if I can make it. Ecco. Oh, can you see it?
Yes. Yes.
This is a tutti char. The char means like protection. Oops. This you can see, you know, with the animals. No? Oh, gosh. Aspetta, just a second, be patient. Shall we make it big, a little bigger? Because this is extremely modern, so. For me, it's modern, very modern. But, ecco, così. Ecco, maybe better. Well, here it says what you have to write and where you have to put it. Insomma, it tells you many things. Okay. And one of the things that says, it's very complicated to make this the cards. You need different types of hair, and you have to pick them in different moments of the year or at night. And then there must be, for example, like, I don't know, a certain number of girls who are, you know, a perfect condition of family, so virtuous girls who twist, you know, all the hair together for a certain number of days, etc. And there must be the hair of very many different animals, including this one. Look. Now then, dog camera. Can you see? This is a pretty dog, a Tibetan prairie dog. It is called Apra. This is not a Tibetan prairie dog because I could not find a picture, but it's like that. So you have to catch them to, because you can't kill them, no? But to take the hair. It's very cute, huh? But that's also a challenge to do that. In any case, what I wanted... Eh? Yes, they live in the prairie. So very many. In the summertime, you can see them. They all come out. They are so tiny. And then there are these huge yaks, you know, that go. Anyway, I want to introduce you now that it's the opportunity. Maybe. Can we see? Can you see? Gosh, these pictures are a bit lovely. This is Polnoptri Lenyima, who, thanks to the clairvoyance of Professor Lackner, has been invited here. And he has accepted the invitation, Lopenki Lenyima, to stay here for a couple of weeks in October, the second half of October. And he will be working with us on these divination systems. We will make like DVDs, and he will give lectures and explain. So he's a Bhenpo Lama, pretty young. He comes from Mustang, Dolpo, Nepal. I don't know if you have seen a movie called Himalaya. Have you seen it? It was shot just at his location. It's very fantastic place, very difficult to get though. But he lives in a settlement in India, in Himachal Pradesh state, which is, a Tibetan settlement. And where all the Bhenpo live, there is a monastery, etc., etc. So this is the general idea. We have also to talk about the so-called semantics of the codes to discover hidden circumstances of life. And there are 12 main codes for, you know, requesting the divination. The first one is the protective energy, which concerns the state of one's protective energy and positive force, which, according to the Burn tradition, is linked to these five deities of which I was talking before. Then there is spirituality, which concerns one's spiritual path and outcome of any spiritual pursuit. So one invokes the master and so on and so on, and requests help to see whether, you know, one should avoid some practices, or which practices would be better, you know, to pursue. The other one is for goal and wishes, meaning the chance to accomplish something. Social condition, that is all the worldly matters in daily life, for, let's say, one's individual situation, social condition, the country, the government, politics, and so on. Then there is the family one, and then there is a travel, but also there is also a sub-voice of the travel, which concerns contacts made on a trip, which may positively or negatively affect its income. Then we have marriage and relationships, business, health, such, for example, whether or not the medical treatment is correct, whether or not one will recover, and so forth. Then we have enemies. Then we have gifts in general, gifts of fortune, and then wealth in general. For what concerns other forms of divination, in Tibetan there is a word which is motra. Mo is the word indicating divination in general, so any kind of method for identifying and examining positive and or negative conditions, while tra refers to the signs that arise to indicate them. We have divination through pebbles, as we said, with symbolic images, scapulimancy, which uses sheep shoulder blades, dice divination, divination with beads, cholo divination, which I showed you before, which is performed using five wooden dominoes. And all these type of divination are still widespread today, both in Burmese and Buddhist circles. The first one is the divination with pebbles, which is seems to be the oldest. How does this work? In order to cast this divination and to examine its results, first of all, one draws a table with nine squares on a piece of paper like that, up here. Then, having performed the invocation, one takes 42 pebbles and divides them into three groups. From the first batch, pebbles are subtracted 4 by 4, and those that remain are put aside. The same procedure is repeated from the second and third batch of pebbles. So the number of the remaining pebbles of the three batches is written one after the other in the first row of three squares, as shown in the image. The pebbles that remain from the previous count are put aside, and the process is repeated once again. The pebbles are put together, divided into three groups, subtracted 4 by 4, and the number of the remaining ones is written in the second line here. Then the pebbles, except for those left from the previous two counts, are put together again, divided into three batches, subtracted 4 by 4 from each batch, and the numbers of the remaining pebbles are written on the third and last row here of squares drawn on paper. The three numbers, the first numbers that appear on the left side, are principally responses for male and spiritual matters. Those in the middle line constitute responses for female matters and matters related to the household. while the line to the three numbers to the right refer to external matters and enemy. Then there are also many other ways of reading the tables, such as taking into consideration the first line of numbers from a first table, the last line of numbers or middle table, and so on and so on. Apart from that, one can also put the nine mewa, which are these numbers. Maybe here you are able to see it better. Can you see?
Yes.
Inside?
Mm-hmm.
You have one down, and then two there, three here, four there, five here, six there, seven, eight, and nine. You want to learn the better numbers.
But in the middle.
What?
Yes, in the central.
This
here.
One.
Four.
This was one, this is two and three. These resemble a rabbit number. Can you see? One, two, three, four. And then where we have it? Five, six, seven, eight. More or less. Just so. More or less. Anyway, this is another form of divination, actually, which I will talk momentarily. So the mewa numbers, because every person, when is born, it is born with a specific number, which is the number that will accompany this person throughout his or her whole life. And all astrological calculations are based on the mewa, so the special number of the year of birth. And, you know, it's corresponded with all sorts of elements that belong to the, you know, the day, the hour, etc. Here you can see that there are 12 animals, which is certainly not surprising to you, because this is considered like the influence also of Chinese astrology, okay? But this is also another form of divination, which is totally astrological. And I will talk about that momentarily. Then we have an interesting one, which is a divination with symbolic images, of which we find mention also in the old Tibetan Dunhuang Chronicles, where a treasure revealer... maybe you don't know what is a treasure revealer. During the time, let's say, of the persecution of Burn, and also the time when Buddhism was introduced into Tibet, it is said that many texts, Burnpo texts above all, were hidden in different places, including the minds of the teachers, in order to be revealed at a later time when also the condition was better in general. And also the spiritual maturity of the people was there so that the texts or these teachings could be understood. So there was this treasure revealer in the 17th century who had a vision, and he saw all these symbolic images and then devised this divination system. There are... three forms of this divination. These are the symbolic images. Can you see? Oh, this is so big. Maybe I should do it smaller. Can you see? See? Yeah, so there are. The extensive version uses 30 images. The medium 15, and the condensed only 5. So the different ones. So how you do this? To do a divination with symbolic images, one first performs application to the deities, and then closing the eyes, one chooses the cards with a spoon. And one raises the spoon without thinking and continues to do so until a card is taken. Then we have this one, scapulimancy. Mm-hmm. which is called SOCMO because it involves interpretation of patterns and shapes of the cracks appearing at the bottom of heated dried sheep shoulder blades. After the shoulder blade has been laid in the fire, one examines the way in which patterns have been produced. The smaller part of the top right is called one's own spot. You can see it there, no? Over there. This is one's own spot, and then the bigger one is the outside spot. So one examines the cracks of these two areas, and if all good omens fall into one's own spot, this is considered as a good prognostic for one's own affairs. Otherwise, if the good marks appear in the outside spot and bad marks appear in one's own spot, the outside is favored. If both are good, then the portent is even. But there is also another important aspect concerning the scapulimancy that we find mentioned in a text here, which is these three elements. The first one is law, which means mind, path here, and this tse, which means summit. Mind is the core of the divination. Without this, the divination itself has no substance, and whatever appears does not have any correspondence with reality, while path is the ground of being, hence the basis for investigating journeys and sorrows, joys and sorrows, and also for travel. Then we have the summit, this one, which is for prosperity, friends, and religious matters. The point where one examines marks related to the mind aspect is the upper part of the shoulder blade. That for travel is the left side, and that for prosperity and so on is the right one. The good or bad outcome of the prediction results from the examination of all the previous patterns and cracks related to the points of the three aspects that appear in one's own spot and in the outside spot. Then we have the divination with dice, which can be done in very many different ways, but in this case I want to show you this one. This one is a special one because it uses not the numbers, but the elements and the combination of the elements. So we have five, which are, you know, each side, and then there is like a gray one, which is neuter. But when the diviner, this also the people can do it, you have to invoke the deity, and then you have to keep it as like this sealed, and then you go in front like this, like this, like this, as many times as you need to think about the question. Then you open this and then you throw the dice. So in this case, for example, we have two space, blue, one earth, one air, one water, and this, which is neuter. If this come, then it means that you have to try again. If two of these gray come, it's not a big deal. You're still okay. But if three or four or five come, the all gray one, then you are in big trouble. Because here you see all the gray ones. Can you see them? Where? Here? Okay, so if we have like one or two is fine. If you have three, you start being in trouble. Four and five, forget it. You don't need even to read because there is no indication. It means, you know, you're totally out of it. You will never just forget about it. And be careful and invoke the deities for protection because, you know, you better. As they say. Then we have the divination with prayer beads. We can have very many different combinations, for example. But usually this both burn and Buddhists, they do all. You have the most important thing is that when you do divination, if you do divination for with the peaceful deities, then the prayer be that yush must be of crystal or like turquoise or, you know, precious stones, but let's say peaceful stones. Well, if you do, if we may say that, well, for example, if you want to do divination with wrathful deities, then you need to have like thorny wood, for example, beads, or dark colored beads, and so on. But what you do after you do the invocation, you ask for the results, and then you cut whenever, wherever, and then you start counting either three or four. Okay? You do like this, and then you start counting three, 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 or four, four, four. And what comes, what is left, then you put it together. And depending on the fact that you cut the prayer beads by three or four, then you have this different combination.
The number of prayer beads
is 108.
Yeah.
You want to know why?
So no problem with three and four, I just can divide it through four?
Yeah, you can divide it through four. Yeah, four, 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 and then what remains can be either one or two. Or three or four, no?
Yeah.
You have different different outcomes. And then there are all the information related to those 12, no? Aspects that we talked about before. And then we have this Cholo divination, of which I read you before, this passage. Yes, I'm done. For the divination, one uses five lozenge-shaped six-edged dominoes, carved in gold or other precious material, stone or wood. And, they are called three tigers because, you know, they have this pattern, like the tiger stripes, and other things. So there are five cholos. They are thrown all together. And these are the possible combinations that can manifest themselves. Then there is tradivination we talked about before with mirrors and so on and so on. And with a medium, the flaca, it's called in Tibetan. Now the existence in modern Tibet of the Nechung medium who prophesied following ecstatic possession in fact showed that this oracular divination has been uninterruptedly practiced from antiquity until now. And this picture has been taken by Hugh Richardson, a Tibetologist, in 1937 in Lhasa, and maybe you cannot see it very well, but here. You see this person covered? This is the Flaka, this is the Nechung oracle, who used to divine for the Dalai Lamas and everything. Then we have the dream divination, according to which you can recognize dreams. There are various methods, recognize dreams, control them, transform them, and having dreams of clarity. Last but not least, we have this numerological astrology, of which the most interesting thing is what I showed you now, this Kapse. Why is this called Kapse? Kap means hidden, because the deities and the entities that control the Parka, the Pakwa, and the Mewa inside, and the elements of any given year, month, day, and hour, are not directly perceptible with the five senses. And Tse, because the astrological junctures connected with those beings represent crucial moments that can immediately reveal the good or bad effects of their influence, which can be incisive, as dangerously sharp as the blade of a weapon. And since this special knowledge is like a mirror, reflecting clearly and in detail the secret aspects of such astrological conjunctions, it is also known as the mirror of manifestation, which we have already seen. This one. So, then we also have the astrology of the interdependence of actions, which is also known as the astrology of the actions of former life. And then we also have nuptial astrology and the astrology of death, because together with birth they represent the most crucial events in people's lives, and because they exercise a long-term influence in that marriage, in principle, is contracted for life, for continuity, while a peaceful departure ensures that the living will not be negatively affected by the death of the person. Last point, and I will conclude. Generally speaking, in this type of astrology, the element at the time of birth is called the element of charisma or capacity, and it is traditionally recognized as the fundamental element on the basis of which the compatibility with other elements is determined. This is because the moment when a child emerges from the mother's womb on the day of its birth is a special one, since that is the first time the child with his sensory organs comes directly in contact with the external environment, experiencing the beauty or squalor of a place, pleasant or unpleasant sounds, good or bad smells, sweet or sour flavors, soft or rough objects. And that is also the first time the elements of the child and those of the external environment interrelate, establishing a new unique energy dynamic. That moment symbolizes the way in which the individual will fare in life and in the world. For that reason, the element of charisma and capacity is considered fundamental, and it is the first to be reckoned. We have sections in the old Tibetan Dunhuang Chronicles dealing with this kind of astrologies, which also employ a number of archaic expressions, and that fact also bear witness to the ancient origin of this science. So, the survey is over. Thank you for your attention.